Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 429, recorded Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. Oh, dear God. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code Windows when you check out. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from the Windows and Microsoft front. Paul Thurrott's here from... What?
It's a two-front war, Leo.
It's a two-front war. It is. Paul's here from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley's here from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. Between the two of them, they know all. Hey, a little program note before we get too far into the weeds here. The show's going to move to Tuesday next week. Because of the Apple announcement on Wednesday. So we're going to flip-flop MacBreak Weekly and Windows Weekly. We'll start Tuesday at 11 a.m. And then that's kind of convenient because it frees Paul and Mary Jo up for our meetup at Rattle and Hum. Mm-hmm. And that will be 3 to 5 East Coast time on Wednesday the 9th.
We did a little bit of reconnaissance yesterday to see how prepared they were for this event.
Are they?
Yep. They're ready.
I think as ready as they can be.
You know, we don't do RSVP, so I don't have any idea how many. It could be 5 people, could be 500, mm-hmm. could be 5,000. I don't know. We have to move to Madison Square Garden. I don't know.
They're going to move
a lot of bars
around.
In the street.
Good.
There are.
We can overflow.
Including one called Foley's, but don't go there.
Yes, we hear that's a dive. That's the other side of the family, the black sheep.
That's right.
Yep.
So I'll be there. Lisa will be there. You two will be there. Dick DiBartolo will be there.
Nice.
That's why I'm a little worried because this could be.
Yep. No, it's going to be.
This could generate a large crowd.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
Crazy. So a week from today, 3 to 5 p.m. New York time, Rattle and Hum, which is on 33rd.
Between Madison and 5th.
Yep.
It's right near the Empire State Building.
Good. Actually, Annie Inako told me he couldn't make the event because he's going to be at Colbert, but he's going to meet me on this on the observation deck of the Empire State Building.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah.
And he says, which one of you will be King Kong in this scenario?
Ladies and gentlemen, people are raving about Windows 10. I know because it tells me that in my Windows 10 menu. Look at that. People are raving about Windows 10.
Raving like lunatics?
Mad. They're crazy. We are finally seeing Windows 10 hardware at IFA today, which is good news.
Mm-hmm.
IFA doesn't start till Friday, but apparently everybody's announcing everything early, trying to beat the rush.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Lenovo's doing a version of the Surface. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and this is part of the reason I was in New York yesterday. I got to take a look at what they're announcing. And that was the one that I sort of gravitated to because it is so clearly a Surface. I mean, it's not like a Surface. It's clearly a Surface.
That's funny. And that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And it makes me wonder whether there's something we haven't heard yet, like Microsoft is licensing the design, or that simply as an apology to PC makers, they're not going to worry about any infringement on the design. I mean, it's so weirdly exactly like the Surface.
That would be cuckoo of them to, it would make no sense whatsoever for them to sue or anything.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's like the world's biggest PC maker. I mean, they are they are Chinese, so I guess there's a probably a rich history of copying there. But
it's
you know, the thing, yeah, it's got a great name. It's not a ThinkPad, but it has a keyboard cover. You know, like the Surface connects exactly like the Surface. Wow. Trackpad looks like it's definitely better. The keyboard, we'll have to see. It's a very low profile keyboard, not like a ThinkPad laptop keyboard, but
not like the type cover either. A little more than that.
It's not much more, to be honest. It's very close.
Isn't it stiffer though? It's got to be stiffer than that.
It looks like it's plastic, seriously, right? It's very similar. It's more similar than that picture suggests. To the point where, you know, with Surface Pro 3 and actually Surface 3, it supports two typing positions. You can kind of magnetize it up against the base of the tablet and connect it there. It works exactly the same way. Exactly.
It's got a kickstand. Boy, it does look like the Surface.
So the kickstand.
It's good. Go ahead.
It's very nice. I mean, it has a better port selection than Surface does. So it's got two USB ports. I think that's at the minimum, you know, one should expect from such a device. It has that kind of watch, I forget what they call it, like the watch band style hinge. So it's sort of a variable hinge, much like you see on Surface Pro 3, which you can see there. The same thing they have on the Yoga 3 Pro, Yoga Pro 3, I guess, Yoga Pro 3, whatever. There's an LTE option. It starts at $699, which is undercuts Surface Pro 3 by quite a bit, but it's an Intel Core M processor, not a full core.
I have to say, on something like that, that's not a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a core. I have an M on my MacBook, that extra thin MacBook, and I never feel like it's too slow.
Right, right.
Plus, the cover, this keyboard cover is part of the price, right? Instead of paying.
Yes, right, exactly. Ooh. It does include the
keyboard. Wow.
Right.
It's weird shipping a laptop with a keyboard is such a radical idea.
Well, that's what Lenovo does. This is a convertible a la Lenovo's other convertibles. Interesting.
Yeah, and a detachable as well. But if you go back to that last picture real quick, if you don't mind, you can see how low profile the keys are. You can see it much clearly there. This is not a full, you know, ThinkPad keyboard. And it doesn't have the nub in there, which I would prefer. But we'll see. I'm very eager to test this. Yeah.
Do we trust Lenovo?
12.5.
So could it fit in the dock, the Surface dock?
Like, is it the same connector?
Is it exactly the same? I neglected to look at, and maybe one of these shots will reveal this, is how it connects to power. I doubt it is
Probably not. And it has more USB ports too, right? So.
Yep.
The best you can do is see this connector right here. Does that look like the one on the Surface?
Yeah, it looks a lot.
Kind of does.
Yeah, I tried to use my own shots, you know, for the article. Although that one obviously is a promo shot.
If this if this is the same, then they have licensed it. Because one thing you don't copy is that, right?
Right.
I bet they've licensed it. I mean, otherwise, Microsoft would definitely sue over this.
Well,
right?
even right now, I would say. It's so close, you know, even if it wasn't exactly the same, it's crazy how close this thing is.
Yeah.
It is very interesting. Microsoft had to know.
They've seen this before. This wasn't the first time they saw it today, right? I mean.
So it's not the same power port. No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
There's a venting there instead. So, yeah, it's not. So, no, it's not going to work.
Okay. Yeah, because partly I also wonder, what do you mean license Surface? I mean, you don't, I mean.
No, but they could license the design.
I bet you the kickstand is patented. I've never seen anything else use a kickstand, right? I bet you that's patented.
And it does have a RealSense camera, so you can do Windows Low sign-in.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is the camera rear-facing? I saw somebody tweet that.
There is a camera that's rear-facing, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the RealSense camera.
No, I mean, Surface has the same thing. They have two cameras, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. That's the back camera.
Yeah, I thought I saw someone say the RealSense camera is on the back. I'm like, what?
That would make sense. So someone talking by could log in while you're using
it. Right. I'm like, no.
What do you think? Would you get this instead of a Surface?
Well, I need to test it first. But, you know, based on my experience with Lenovo's products, I mean, yeah, maybe. Like, and of course, what we don't know is what Microsoft's going to announce with Surface Pro 4. I'm really intrigued by this because, you know, like I said, so it's so clearly a, I don't want to say ripoff or knockoff, except that how else do you describe something like this? I mean, it's exactly the same.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when the MacBook Air came out and HP and every other PC maker on earth shipped something that looked exactly like a MacBook Air. I mean, how else do you say that? It's pretty bald-faced.
Yeah.
It looks great, though. I mean, it looks like a nice device.
You also saw new yogas, I take it.
Yeah, so you know the yoga lineup, which normally is like an IdeaPad type device, consumer-oriented device, is that thing where the screen flips around 360 degrees. You can lay it flat. You can pop it back around like a tablet. You can place it up like a tent or a stand and all that kind of stuff. So these things are obviously shipping with Windows 10. There's a 12-inch and a 14-inch version. The one thing on this on these, well, there's two things on these devices that really stand out. One is that the awesome thing about this, if you look at that picture real quick, you can see up on the right and left of the top part of the key, like off of the keyboard, these little nub things. Those things, in combination with a retracting keyboard, keep the keyboard protected when it's upside down in tablet mode or in a stand mode, right? So as you pull the screen back, the keys actually retract into the device, which you can see in the next picture or in one of the future pictures. So there's like the normal keyboard, and then if you scroll down a little bit more, you can see how they. Yeah, it's kind of it's just kind of a neat little. You know,
I like that. I asked the guy, I said, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I said, is this a real problem or is this a perception thing? Because I know people don't like the keyboard to be touching. And he said, honestly, it's a little bit of both. I mean, mostly it's because we got so many complaints from people. They didn't like the keyboard touching anything. But the truth is, if you move a keyboard around upside down, you know, on a surface, you could really injure the keys. So they're going to start protecting them this way. So that's kind of cool. And then the smaller of the two devices, they both have optional fingerprint readers, which are Windows Hello compatible. But the smaller of the two has a like a finger like a Touch ID type thing instead of a swipe, which it's the first one I've seen on a PC, and I don't understand why these are on every PC. But if you scroll down a little bit, I think the next photo has a picture of it. But it's kind of just a nice looking, you know, simple like fingerprint thing. Yeah. And
Do you swipe that little line there?
No, you press your finger on that square.
This. Okay.
And that little thing above it is a light.
Oh, it's a light.
And so that it will light up when it is correct. Yeah. And it will glow orange if for some reason it doesn't work. You can come at it from any angle, like on the iPhone, right? Because it's, you know, it's not based on direction. It's just based on the shape. It can be any direction.
So, again, I asked the question.
Do I trust Lenovo?
Yeah.
So there's two aspects to this. Do you remember when Jack in the Box had that problem where people died from eating the hamburger
meat? Yeah, I remember that. And I haven't eaten a Jack in the Box since.
Yeah, but my theory is that for the 2 weeks after that, that was probably the safest place on earth to eat.
No E. coli there.
Lenovo announced earlier this year with regards to crapware that they had kind of turned the corner and were going to step away from this kind of stuff. And when you look at these devices and the stuff that's pre-configured on it, there's two sides to it. One is ThinkPad, which never had any real crapware.
Yeah, they only put it on the low-end stuff, the consumers.
Yeah, and then the other one is just all of their other PCs. And so you see a lot less crapware on the low-end PCs. You see nice stuff in there like Office 365 Personal. You see you do see McAfee, 30-day baloney. You know, this is the one they're really going to have the most difficulty weaning off of. But then you just see basic Lenovo utilities. Some of which are truly useful and some of which are stuff I'll never use. But, you know, I guess depending on how you define crapware, they're at least not third-party stupid, you know, Adobe games or, you know, whatever. So I think from that perspective, I think we're in the clear. But the other half of it is this kind of BIOS, spyware stuff that people are freaking out about right now. That one I don't really have a lot of experience with, and I don't know what's going on there. And I actually talked to them yesterday about continuing a discussion about that kind of stuff. And I'm going to talk to them soon and try to figure out what's going on there. But I mean, the thing is, I've been dealing with these guys, and by these guys, I don't mean like Lenovo per se, but the part of Lenovo that makes their computers, you know, the ThinkPad, the Think Group, since they were part of IBM. And it's the same people, that have always been there. And do I trust them? Absolutely. And I use and recommend and have reviewed many, many, you know, ThinkPads in particular, but also IdeaPads, yogas and so forth. And I don't know what's going on. It's kind of hard to, you know, at my previous job, I worked with a really good small group of people, but we were part of some giant evil empire. And so I don't know I don't know if it's the same thing for them or, you know, if things change over time or whatever.
Is,
I don't know.
It is telling that the ThinkPad line has always been insulated from that. There was no superfish on ThinkPad. There was on yoga. This BIOS modification, I think you can make a case for why they did that. It was the wrong thing to do, and they shouldn't have done it. But I understand why they did it. They're trying to keep an update process working on the machine.
This doesn't defend them, but I would say the nice thing about today's age, where everything is very transparent, whether you want it to be or not, because of the internet,
you can't get away with nothing.
You can't get away with anything, and the outrage is so immediate and so vast. And you hear from your customers,
right?
That I think this solves problems quickly. So I just don't know enough about this newer issue to have much of an opinion.
Yeah, I would not. I would never say don't get a ThinkPad. To be honest with you,
I wouldn't. Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
At the same time, I kind of want to punish them. I don't know the guys. You see, this is the disadvantage I have. But I almost want to say, to take that, Lenovo. I'm buying a Motorola phone. That's the same company.
Yeah.
Well, right. But and again, it's Lenovo buying another company that makes really good products. So in the case of Motorola, it's the same thing when you think about it. There's Motorola-branded phones and other products, accessories, watches and whatnot. And then there's Lenovo-branded phones and products and accessories and tablets and all that kind of stuff. They sell both. And so here in North America, not just the United States, but North America and the Americas probably, we don't see Lenovo-branded phones, for example. We see Motorola. But Motorola and Lenovo are sold in some markets side by side. And I think that division is similar to ThinkPad, IdeaPad, and then they also have Lenovo-branded PCs, which may or may not have come out of China originally. I'm not really sure what the origins of all those machines are.
We've got a couple people saying the RealSense camera is on the back.
It is on the back. Well, that makes no sense.
They say they're in various reviews and spec sheets. It looks like it's on the back, which is
why would it bizarre. Be on the back?
I don't know why. I don't.
Okay. All right. No, I it's not coming out until November. I'm going to definitely review it. I can't wait to see it and use it. You know. That's weird. I suppose the problem with it is when it's docked and you're using it on your desk, you want to walk up and, you know, the nice thing about, you know, Windows Hello cameras, you walk, it just works.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
Lenovo.
Great.
You'll have to check that out.
Yep.
Yeah. So November.
Mistakes can be made.
Mistakes are never perfect the first time.
Yeah. It's not just yogurt and
yogurt
and yogurt pads. No, my friends, there's more at IFA.
There's a lot more, and I haven't written about a lot of it. I did a quickie thing on the Acer thing, but honestly, the more I looked at that, the less interesting it was. It's just it's a new high end phone with a terrible name. And a continuum dock, which you can, you know, plug the device into and access a screen and a, you know, keyboard and mouse. And I think that's a neat scenario for some people. But unless something really changes with regards to camera quality, which it has a 21 megapixel camera, or more important, I think the Lumia apps, which should be available to all Windows Phone users, but are not today, are mostly confined to Lumia users. It's hard for me to get excited around, you know, about an Acer phone that runs Windows Phone.
I don't know. That's not Microsoft's phone dock, right?
That's their own. No, the Acer one, you actually, the device sits in it like, you know, upright, like it plugs into it. Yeah. The Microsoft one
is
a
Munchkin one, right? Oh, yeah. That's flat. That lays on the table.
Yeah. Well, it's all plugs, like wires. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, boss. Whatever you say, boss. you're not at IFA. IFA's in Berlin this year, as it always is. And you're not there because you just got back. But there's plenty of coverage of IFA. We covered this morning, and you can watch it on our Twit Live specials at twit.tv/specials. The Sony announcement, they announced a 4K Android phone with a nice camera and all that stuff. And Sony and Huawei. And I mean, It's so funny because these companies are also RANs in the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Leo, you asked last week if Microsoft's press conference on Friday was going to be webcast. It is.
It is.
Yes.
Then we shall cover it.
Yep. 10 a.m. Eastern. It's going to be webcast on IFA's channel, not Microsoft. And so we have a link in the show notes to that.
The IFA channel on your local cable.
IFA channel. Yeah. And, you know, what we think they're going to do there, a lot of people are asking us, is that where they're going to announce the new phones or Surface 4? No, we don't think so. We think it's just going to be Microsoft showcase of OEM devices, right?
I was told explicitly that Microsoft would not announce any new devices at IFA.
Not there, right? Yeah.
It says Windows 10 lights up new devices. Nick Parker, Corporate Vice President, OEM Division.
Yeah. It's a nice use of quotes.
Yeah, that's the some weird language kind of stuff. Upside down quote.
He's formerly from Nokia, isn't he, Nick Parker?
Ah, that would explain.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
That's probably Finnish.
Is he? It sounds like a British name, but isn't that the guy that was from Nokia?
I don't know. He's the head of Microsoft OEM. I don't remember where he came from. But.
Okay.
Good news, though. That's great. And that means we can cover it. We've been trying to cover the IFA events as best we can from overseas. Let's take a break. And we'll have more in just a second with Mr. What's his name? That guy
all about Android.
All about Android guy. He used to be an Amiga fan and now he hates Windows. No. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley.
I love Windows.
I'm sorry, it's not Windows, it's Microsoft you hate.
Okay. So I think I'm being slightly misquoted here.
Okay.
Perhaps.
What do you hate, Paul?
I don't hate Microsoft. I just hate everything they make. No,
we're just joshing you. These two are the experts. There's nobody better. Hey, if you're the expert on hiring in your company, like you're the person who has to do it, I'm sorry. But, you know, hiring is probably the most important job there is in a company, especially as you build that company, because the people you hire really set the tone. They create the culture. And there's nothing worse than a bad hire. There's nothing better than a great hire. I mean, it's really that simple. We use ZipRecruiter, and I want to tell you, it is a great way to hire people. First of all, ZipRecruiter is easy for you. You're going to get more candidates. It's easy to screen them and pick them. And this is a good time to do it. Here we are. You know, people are still on vacation. They're not paying attention. They're just ramping back up. And ZipRecruiter says you're going to have less competition if you post your ad right now. And with ZipRecruiter, that's easy. One click of the mouse and you're on 100-plus job boards, plus social sites like Craigslist and Twitter. They have nearly 6 million current resumes on file, too. So within a few hours, you'll be instantly matched to people who fit your needs. And it's all done in the ZipRecruiter interface, which is really great because you don't have to take calls or answer emails. You can just deal with it at ZipRecruiter.com. No wonder over 400,000 businesses like mine use ZipRecruiter. And you can try it now for free. Take Tara. She's a happy ZipRecruiter client. She sent us an email. Says, ZipRecruiter, this is the quote, has completely changed the way we evaluate and manage candidates. Wow. As a small business, we subscribe to the always be hiring approach to growth. And the tools available to us through our membership have made that simpler, easier, and faster. Here's a happy ZipRecruiter user. You will be too. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. 4 days free. That's enough to fill that job or two. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And we thank ZipRecruiter so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley.
By the way,
yes.
Sorry, just real quick, since I know this is burning in everyone's minds. Nick Parker did not work at Nokia. I apologize for that.
A little research time, and we found that out. Patches and privacy.
Wait, should we talk about Skylake?
What?
No, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd say that. Skylake's much more interesting, really.
Is that in the list?
Yeah. Patches and privacy. Am I looking at the wrong page?
It is. Nope, it is on the list.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yep.
Samsung goes round with watch. Android Wear comes to iPhone. And hasta la vista, Amazon.
No.
But Skylake should really trump that. Intel announced today more information about their newest, was it fifth generation?
Sixth
generation Intel processor. Still 14 nanometer, but they've updated the microcode and it looks pretty impressive from all the benchmarks I've seen. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm not a chip expert, but I would suggest reading Anand Tech for this because they've got everything you would ever want to know about the Skylake family and all the new variants, including
trying to get Nigel on. He did such a good job with that.
Yeah.
To talk about.
They've got the Y series, the U series, the H series, the S series. They cover all a range of devices.
Ian, not Nigel. Ian.
And I also talked to Intel. They were here in New York right before they went over to Berlin, and they were talking about working hand in hand with Microsoft and the Windows 10 team on Skylake to make sure that this processor worked really well with that operating system. They also told me that they already have a couple million units of the chip out to various OEMs. And so, of course, I asked, what about Microsoft? And they said, you'll have to ask them. But, yeah, I would guess Microsoft among them.
Interesting. Right?
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, a lot of the announcements we're seeing this week at IFA are Skylake. Not all, but many are Skylake-based coming later this year. So, yeah, I thought it was very interesting when I was talking to Intel where they were talking about they are very vested in trying to see people upgrade to new PCs this year. Now that Microsoft has a good operating system that people want, and they have all this research about how many PCs are over 5 years old, and they think it's a perfect time for people to upgrade to new hardware, of course.
Now's a great time to buy new hardware.
Yeah. But, you know, what they have to do along with Microsoft to get people to buy this new hardware is sell the features, right? So they have to really get people excited about things like Hello and the RealSense cameras and Continuum, this new speed shift technology that Intel has for improving responsiveness between the hardware and the software. So they've got a lot of work to do. You know, the Intel folks said to me, we think people are super excited about the security enhancements that are inside of Windows 10. And I said, okay, what besides Passport and Hello, like, do you think there are other things people know about or should care about? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like,
what would those be?
Nobody can ever say.
Yeah, we think so. People are excited.
Yeah, we think so, though.
I mean, taking your personal information is requires a lot of work.
People are so excited about that. Yes.
You need a really nice processor for that.
I actually think Microsoft needs to do a lot more right now to explain what they did do under the covers with security that people should be excited about besides Hello and Passport. Like, what else did you guys do under the covers that you think consumers and business people are going to really care about? I don't think they've talked about that very much. And maybe we'll hear more when Threshold 2 comes and they have more of those pieces coming into place. But I think that should be something we hear a lot more about than the stuff we're already hearing about, like Cortana, which, you know, that's exciting too to a number of people. But I think security is even more exciting to business customers.
Touchy, though. You don't want to imply that somehow you were lax on security before.
No.
No, that last thing was a piece of crap, Leo. This is the stuff. I can't believe anyone used that. You should get this.
Yeah.
And by the way, I now know why Intel's quoting the five-year-old computers, because in a non-tech review, Ian Cutress points out that the clock speed or the performance per clock speed was not as impressive a bump as everybody had expected. Mm-hmm. Certainly impressive compared to 3 to 5 year old processors.
But the other thing there is that that body of computers out in the world that are 5-ish years old is 500 million machines. So that's 1/3 of all the computers out in the world. I mean, that's an incredible market opportunity.
Yeah. You know. Anyway, I'm sorry.
You're not excited.
Security
about
is exciting, Leo. I can tell you that.
Security. No, actually, I'm very excited about the new processors. Yeah. I am a little disappointed that they're not quite all that, you know, they were quoting some pretty impressive improvements.
Mm. They're compared to
the graphics.
Generations.
The graphics improvement is significant, I think.
Yeah. Is the next generation called Abbey Trail? Is that what comes after?
No, it's he's got it in his review.
Does he?
Cobby okay. Lake or something? It's kind of crazy.
Cobby Lake, right. I think so.
Kind of a crazy name.
Yeah, they're talking that family of chips up a lot because it's going to do a lot more for battery life, especially for batteries
right.
that are built into keyboards that can be attached to devices.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, because they've released two of the Skylake processors a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and everybody right. was saying, oh, you know, I was repeating the Intel benchmarks, you know, 30% faster, 30% battery life. Yeah, maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. that's it, you know, we're really kind of at a point of diminishing returns anyway. I mean, how much can you improve these? The graphics apparently yeah. is much improved. That's important.
Right.
Built-in graphics are critical on things like the Surface. Because you just don't have anywhere to put an external, you know, separate GPU.
Built-in graphics will always be marred by the initial release,
right.
which happened right around the same time as Windows Vista,
right.
and could yeah. not run Aero.
Right.
Remember? Everyone
right.
had the first-gen
right. yep.
Intel graphics, and they got that really awful-looking gray Windows Basic scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I think people yep. still kind of think, you know, remember that, and they hear Intel graphics, and they get, like, you
yeah.
know, a little chilly
yeah.
up their back or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's now, you know, it's gotten pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. There are a few other IFA things. We kind of, I guess this goes back to the OneNote changes that you made that I'm not seeing, probably.
No, I think you're seeing those, right? Samsung and Android Wear and all those, right?
Not exactly. Sort of, not from IFA, but just related to what's happening at IFA.
Yeah, I am seeing.
They're not worth a lot of discussion. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Samsung's third generation watch is round, which I think is the right shape. The problem I've had with these watches, and I'm not sure Samsung fixes it, is that they're too big. This Samsung watch is also Tizen or Tizen or whatever.
It's Tizen. It's not Android Wear.
I just, like, seriously, guys.
I don't want this. Yeah.
Stupid. Android Wear available sort of on the iPhone, meaning like new watches only. Interesting. Smart.
They made an Android Wear app. It'll work on my Urbane. That's the most recent one. Although some have said it will
yeah.
work, even though it's not explicitly supported on older ones. But I will I will give it a try.
Yeah, like new ones will obviously work
yeah.
with that. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think we can all lament the fact that Amazon has left the phone business because their...
Boy, that Fire Phone was so good.
It was hilarious. So we're going to kind of miss that lack of connection with your customer that we got from Amazon last summer.
Yeah. All right. I think really the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Got to address it. Paul, okay. Did you get a haircut?
No.
You're looking good. No, I'm
thanks, sir. Thank you.
Now, of course, Steve Gibson went off yesterday, and apparently Microsoft liked the telemetry stuff in Windows 10 so much. They decided,
actually, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I have seen many, many stories that stated outright that what they did was take the stuff from Windows 10
right.
and put it in Windows 7.
Right.
I don't actually believe that's what they did at all. I don't understand where that comes from. They've just put telemetry
right
that you can turn off into Windows 7 and Windows 8. Am I missing something? It's not. It's not a Windows 10 privacy stealing .dll.
No, but it sounds so good when you put those two together.
But I don't think that's what they. Right? I don't actually think that's what they did.
No.
No, it's okay. Not.
What did they do?
So they went back and they added telemetry sensing capabilities to a bunch of patches for Windows 7 and Windows 8.
Which, by the way, are not automatically installed.
Right. I think one's optional and one's recommended.
Yeah, they're neither critical patches, which I think is
right.
important.
Yeah.
And I want to say that because
yeah.
people are suddenly saying, oh, well, I'm not going to do any updates.
Yeah.
And that would be wrong.
Well, no, I mean, the assumption here is, like, in other words, in Windows 10, they're forcing you to install updates. Clearly, Microsoft has just added that to Windows 7 and Windows 8. And it's
right.
like, guys, you got to get off the cliff. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, this is not what happened.
No, so this is a recommended or optional update.
Yep.
Not a critical update. Our advice still is always apply the critical updates.
Mm-hmm. I could just picture Steve Gibson is digging Windows 2000 out of a box.
Oh, man. I think he's going back to MS-DOS 5.0, but I don't know.
Great. This is, if you've ever heard of Microsoft's customer experience improvement program, that is what this stuff is.
Right.
So it's meant for them to be able to see what people are doing with their consent so that they can collect the telemetry data and make their products work better. There are ways to disable these patches. GHacks had some things on their site about how to disable them. And Microsoft is saying, you know, it's an opt-in optional programs, the customer experience program. If you don't want to be in it, you can say no, right?
There's always been a checkbox for that. Would you like to participate?
There's a checkbox.
Yeah.
And you can say no.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, they did. And you know, Peter Bright wrote a really good piece on this for ours. He said, well, what Microsoft's doing isn't so crazy or dastardly. The part that they're doing wrong is making this just happen without informing customers about what they're doing.
Yep.
I wish someone had raised the fact that Microsoft doesn't communicate well.
You know,
it seems like that's something that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, I'm sure part of the reason they don't do that is because they know most people will flip and go, no, I don't want to be in this. And their point is we should try to get as much telemetry data as we can, but still it makes it look like they're trying to pass stuff by people without them understanding, right?
So. Right. I mean, without knowing what they're doing, my assumption here is that over the course of developing Windows 10, what they discovered was, when you force people to provide telemetry data, we can fix problems really quick, and it actually works great.
Yeah.
We should do some more of this in our previous versions of the OS and make it better for everybody.
Yep.
You know, it really is kind of a benefit to the user base, right? Because problems get fixed.
Right.
I mean, the running gag in Windows 8, probably Windows 7 timeframe as well, is that every once in a while you get this dialogue that would say, hey, we just collected a bunch of diagnostic information about the problems you've been having with the computer. Would you like to check to see if there's a solution? And you say yes, and it just always says there's no solution. I suspect they want that to actually work, you know?
Yeah.
Customer service or customer experience improvement data is not privacy related. It has nothing to do with your. They're not like, listen, we need to store a copy of your customer database, your contact database, in order to find out what's going on with your video card driver or something. Would be like an insane. As I think people are commingling these things. This has nothing to do with your private data, or your privacy, your personal information. Nothing. It has nothing to do with it. I agree that they should be more transparent about it. But, you know, even this Peter Bright article, which is probably more fair-minded than anything I've ever read about this.
He doesn't he? Yeah.
Yep. And it still says Microsoft accused of adding spy features to Windows. What it should say is, insanely, Microsoft is being accused of adding spy features when it is, in fact, done nothing of the kind.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was boneheaded the way they did it. It's Microsoft. That's what they do. They are boneheaded. But this is not related to privacy.
But there's a nexus. Microsoft's boneheaded, and blogs want clicks.
Yep, want clicks.
And and you're going to get a lot more clicks if you say privacy violations continue.
I look at every time something like this happens. You know this. I mean, I look at it. I'm looking for the smoking gun kind of thing, and then you figure out what's going on, and you're like, really? That's what this is? This is what? This is?
I know. Yep.
I don't know.
They need somebody, a crisis management expert, somebody like a Mark Penn.
Mark Penn explicitly. What they need is someone who can prevent crises from happening in the first place. Clear communication would help a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like Microsoft internally knows exactly what this is and doesn't think it doesn't even know that it will be seen as, that somebody will.
Yeah, but how many times you got to get pinged before you realize, I need to wake up and do something about this?
Yeah.
Stupid.
I really try to resist the sensationalism that is rapidly sweeping the tech reporting business.
Yeah.
And
I only write about this stuff to say this is dumb. I mean,
everybody sees.
I've not written about
people
this.
People see 12 headlines that say privacy violation and one from you or Ed Bott or Mary Jo that says, no, come on.
Yeah.
They're going to remember the 10.
It gains
truth and gains power by repetition, even if it's inaccurate.
I don't know, Mary Jo, if you get this kind of thing, but I will get this kind of feedback. In other words, I could write something that says, look, this is so overblown. It's nothing. It's blah, blah, blah. And then someone will say, well, of course you would say that. Your livelihood depends on Microsoft
right.
succeeding.
I get the same thing.
And it's like, I
get the same thing all the time.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I spent several years during the antitrust trials demanding that this company be broken asunder into as many parts as possible. I thought they were the most evil organization that's ever graced the planet Earth. I mean, like, I'm not a mindless cheerleader of Microsoft. I don't even understand that argument. I mean, I can write about technology. If I could move along, trust me, I use this stuff because I like it a lot. And in many cases, not in all cases, as noted earlier, but Windows in particular. And I look at this stuff with a very critical eye. And believe me, if there was something here, I would be all over it. And I don't understand this. I don't understand the arguments. I'm not diminishing, although I'll use phrases like the tinfoil hat crowd, yada, yada, because it really is that nuts. But I'm not diminishing privacy concerns. But if you have privacy concerns, please let them be actual privacy concerns, not made up things like this. This is silly. Yeah. This is a non-issue.
And then, of course, if you say that, you become part of the problem. Like, well, there you go.
I'm the Malthusar.
I get exactly. such emails saying, well, you clearly don't care about privacy.
Yep. Let alone your listeners, you jerk.
Yeah.
You know, I know. I get the same.
I want to try really hard throughout all of our shows to eliminate spin and try to figure out what's so and what's not so. Yep. And it, you know, we're not trying to generate clicks. We don't need to generate clicks.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm not interested in
today, Microsoft finally did respond on this. We link in the show notes to a Softpedia story where they actually say, here's what we did do and here's what we didn't do. But it took 4 days for them.
Well,
I know. They're not a leading source that many people know.
Verge,
we know them.
Tell and Gadget.
Softpedia,
tell ZDNet.
Isn't that a place where you download software from? What is that?
Right.
Softpedia.
Tell.
No, they do Microsoft News.
Tell
too,
ours. But. Tell the big guys.
Yeah.
You know, Mary Jo said, well, it's frustrating.
How about Microsoft.com homepage? Your privacy is important to
us.
Actually,
that would be a good place to do it.
Yeah. They do have a privacy page. Microsoft does have a privacy page, but it's not addressing this latest thing. That's the problem. Like, they have a set of responses that are about privacy and their services agreement and their EULA. But this, every time something new happens, it's like, now what about this?
You know
right? And that's not on the page.
Snopes.com has been around for a decade. I still get the same stupid links to fallacious stories, to made up quotes, to things that never happened.
My wife has a side job doing that with all the people in my family who send around those mass mailings, and she just debunks everything that, you know, these nut jobs think.
Humans love black and white, good and evil. They love that.
Sure.
It's hard to the way you know. I think was it Larry Page, I think, has said this in his famous weird speech at the end of Google I.O. that the world doesn't lend itself to the truth,
nuance.
Yeah. We don't have time for nuance. We just want black and white. Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, I don't want to need to speak for Mary Jo, but I mean, we're writers, you know, and I think one of the awful things in this modern age is the decline in the attention span. These quickie headline things are designed to grab you, and it's like a Fluffernutter sandwich. You know, there's nothing behind it. It's just garbage.
I like Fluffernutters on Wonder Bread. Yum,
they
yum.
Are very sweet.
Yum, yum. All right. Net Applications has given us yet another data point on Windows 10 installations, and it looks pretty good.
I like confirmation bias.
so what we thought.
This confirms what I thought, you know, which is that it being on approximately 5% of all the computers in the world means that they have sold approximately, or I should say there are approximately 78 million Windows 10 computers in use, which is corresponds exactly to what Microsoft said last week, plus or minus the margin of error, which we will describe as the body of people using Macs. So, you know, but as far as the PC world goes, the net applications data roughly corresponds to what Microsoft said. So I think it's probably pretty accurate.
Good. Okay, go ahead and do the show. I'm ordering my Moto X. They jumped the gun a little bit. Nine minutes early. So I won't be around
for Pure Edition.
This, I believe, is the Pure Edition. Yes, it is, sir.
Yep.
You like so the ebony back with a, like, gold accents on the front there?
Is there a back that is the texture of a basketball or a football?
There's leather, Horween leather, but there's nothing with stitching. Yeah.
I've said this before about Motorola, which is kind of weird because we don't talk about Android, obviously, and they're kind of outside the scheme of what we do. But I look at these devices and I look at this Motomaker thing, and I said this before. I said this probably a year ago or something. I don't understand why this isn't more popular. An unlocked phone sold for a reasonable price that's a flagship that is highly customizable. You know?
Should I get it engraved? Nah.
No, because you're going to want to resell it in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, really.
Something new's gonna come.
All right. It looks good. Looks good. Ebony back, gold.
So, by the
front.
Way, a 64 gigabyte iPhone 6 Plus would cost $850.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yep. And well, if you even look at my previous Moto X purchases, this is the least expensive Moto X ever.
All right. So is that all they pre-announced, or?
Well, I'm sure there's more. I just
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure, sure you know. And in 8 minutes, you'll be able to tell us.
He's drinking, so he won't be tempted to blow his cover.
Moto
early.
Surround Turbo Power 15 Charger. I don't know what new headphones, I guess. Yeah, accessories. New headphones. Is that all that we?
No.
Should I check out? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check out just because this way I'll have it before anybody else does. Sorry. I didn't mean to distract. Didn't mean to disrupt.
We can just keep going in the show notes.
I'm excited about what to.
No, you're
all right,
not.
So what about, all right, so we'll just move on. Windows 10, build 10.532 came out light last week. Friday, was it? Friday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday.
That's Threshold 2 or no?
Threshold 2. It's second post-RTM build, not that there is an RTM.
Got a blue screen and death immediately. Seriously, got a boot.
Worked out okay for me. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
it was fine here.
I rewound, and I don't know why I got that because I hadn't installed anything. It was still a clean install.
Mary Jo, are you on the fast ring? Are you doing that, or are you just going to stick on RTM?
I am not doing that.
Well, you're right.
They probably wise. although this one's pretty good. A lot of people have complained, you know, because there's nothing you can't complain about, that when you right-click on different parts of Windows 10, you see different styles of menus, right? Like, here's a menu that looks like it's from Windows 7. Here's one that's kind of the Windows 8 style. Here's another one that's sort of the new Windows 10 style. And in this build, they're starting, and actually I haven't really seen too many inconsistencies, but they're starting to just use the standard Windows 10 style menu everywhere. So if you right-click on something anywhere, File, Explorer, Universal App, whatever it is, Start Menu, the menu is this kind of new modern-looking style, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks
good. And that's honestly the only serious.
I know, there wasn't much in that build otherwise, was there?
No, but that's cool. I mean, that alone is pretty neat. Even the... what's it called? The quick access menu that you get when you right-click the start button has been changed to that style. And that's never looked anything like this before. It's always been the same thing. So kind of nice.
In this new build, did you get that feature I was showing you yesterday when you go to Windows Update History?
Yep. So I don't know if that's tied to this build.
Is it tied to this build? Because I didn't. So I'm not on the fast ring, but I got it on the RTM build.
In other words, what you do is you look at your update history, and then there's an uninstall updates link. And
there's
uninstall
updates now. If you look back at your Windows update history on the RTM build of Windows 10, you can uninstall particular updates, which is nice.
Except that
also
you
uninstall preview builds.
So when I click on it, what I don't see is updates. I only see Adobe Reader in there, which is not an update. And
I see updates when I click
on
it.
You do?
Yep.
That's interesting. It might be because I'm on a fast ring build.
You're on the fast ring, right.
Yeah, it might be different.
So that's kind of handy because people are complaining about various updates and having issues with them. Even though we don't know what's in these updates, sometimes you have an issue with an update when you get them. You want to roll back easily.
Speaking of that topic. Yep. Sorry.
About knowing what's in your updates. We had heard from Microsoft, including Gabe Ahl, our fearless ringleader, that Microsoft was not going to let people know what are in the Windows cumulative updates for Windows 10. Last week, there were a bunch of reporters who were on campus at Microsoft talking to Jim Alcove, who is head of the enterprise part of Windows. And he said to them, we are looking into providing some kind of maybe changelog is too strong a word, but some kind of information to business users about what are in Windows 10 updates. I think they have to do this. I don't even think this is really an option, especially for business right. users, because if they don't do this, everybody's going to want to be on the long-term servicing branch because they're going to be afraid of what is in these updates and they won't want them. I think, I don't think Microsoft should have to tell them every single thing that is fixed, but maybe a top right. five list or something like they do. If you ever look at the Surface history update page, they give you, here's five of the biggest things we fixed in this firmware update. I think they could do that as well for Windows 10 users. And I actually don't see why they couldn't do it for power users who are consumers too, but they have only talked about possibly doing this for business users. We don't know when or how they're going to do this, or even if they, but they definitely are saying they're hearing this feedback that they need to do it. So that's a good thing. I think they need to do this.
I find this whole thing to be like a curious regression. I sort of understand the forced update thing to an extent, but I think a lot of the optional stuff should always be optional, you know, like I don't quite, some of it I don't quite get, you know?
Yeah. The thinking on their part, as they've said a few times, is, you know, hey, on phones, we just push updates out to you guys and you take them. You don't even know what's in them. You just take them. But I feel like PCs are different.
I don't think it matters. I mean, I would say if you want to know what that is, you should always be able to find out. You know, it's true that most people probably don't care. That's fine. But
that's true.
For those people that want to feel good about it, make sure it's something that they understand and would allow. I don't understand why you would prevent them from doing that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
They've said, Gabe Ball has said on Twitter, it's just, it doesn't provide any real value add and it's a lot of work for us. But I think
they need to do it. Explaining yourself is often a lot of work, yes.
And what's the point?
I mean,
there's no value add.
There's no value add, you know, like I.
Yeah.
I just think that's a mistake.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, we've seen, for one, all of the updates coming, or not, I can't even say all, many to most of the updates we're getting for Windows 10 are cumulative updates. So if whatever you didn't get in the last update, anything from that point forward will be applied. But if you don't know what you got in the last update, you're kind of like, okay, is this going to fix the issue I have with blah or not? I don't even know if they're aware of that issue or trying to fix that issue. So I think that's why this is coming up a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully they're going to do this.
Oh, Microsoft.
Keep the pressure on.
You know, we should just talk about shaving.
Yes, thank you.
You know, it never lets you down. Harry's never lets you down. That's kind of why I'm a Harry's fan. Best razors, best price. They bought the factory so that they could design these razors to their precise specifications and then sell them directly to you, which means instead of paying like $4 for a Gillette Fusion blade at the drugstore, you're talking half that. So you're going to save literally, I don't think people add this up, but you may save like $100 a year on blades. And by the way, these are better blades. These are better blades. Shaving is not fun unless you have a shaving system that makes you feel good. And that's what Harry's does for me. Shaved with Harry's this morning. Now, I got the Winston kit. That's the beautiful metal handle I have engraved with my name, Leo, on it. But that one, I think, is $25. There's also the Truman kit. Plastic handle, very colorful. $15. Both the kits come with not only the handle, but three blades. The travel cover, which is very handy, and your choice of cream or foam gel, you know, foaming gel, which smells fabulous. They also have a little aftershave that I really like. Go to Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. You're actually going to get $5 off when you say you know, use the offer code Windows. Say you heard it on Windows Weekly. Actually, just use the offer code Windows. That's our offer code. And that makes the Truman kit, get the starter kit, $10. That's a great deal. Great for a gift. And once you get, you know, once you start becoming a Harry's user, you're going to never want to go back. That's when you get the subscription and you get the blades and the cream or the gel delivered on a regular basis. H-A-R-R-Y-S. Enjoy your shaving time. I also got, I'm kind of a sucker for the stuff, the razor stand and monogrammed and all that stuff. Great shave supplies, great shave plans, great blades, direct from the factory, Harry's.com. And do yourself a favor, save $5 when you use the offer code Windows at checkout. I love it. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows on Windows Weekly, Microsoft, as we always do. I'm trying to keep Paul from, you know, slitting his wrists. It's a nice thing about those Harry's. No, I should. I probably shouldn't bring that up. Never. No. Cut that part out.
So far, so good, Leo.
He's still with us, my friends. Windows 10 Mobile. We've seen so many pictures now of the, what are they, City and Talk?
City Man and Talk Man.
City Man and Talk Man. It's one of those things where you feel they're not, they're still not out, but you feel like they're out.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do we know?
Yeah. Paul's got the
so, yeah. How was this? I forget how this was. I guess there were two different things that were leaked, but there were leaked what are believed to be press images of these devices,
I mean,
right?
They so look like that. They, those don't, those look like.
Yeah. Yeah. The real thing. The real deal. Obviously, a phablet class device. I think it's 5.7 inches, if I remember correctly. And then a phone class device. Basically the same specs, a couple of differences. Peer view camera, which is nice. The weird one, if you look at the one on the left, if you look at the side view on the bottom, I think it's on the bottom, right there, sorry. The button layout is completely different on that device for some reason. And this corresponds with what I had heard a few months back, where the volume, instead of a volume rocker, there's separate volume up and down. And then in the middle is the power button, which is like, what the, like, why?
Oh, that's,
why would this
that's
be different?
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
And then that's stupid. The camera button, right?
Yeah. So they do have camera buttons, which is neat.
But, and on the black one, which I don't know which one is which, but it's just a regular volume rocker, a separate power button somewhere else.
What you're seeing there has been the consistent button that's layout on Lumia since the very first one. Mm-hmm. The blue one, no. And why? Because Microsoft, who knows? Crazy.
Isn't it something about using the phone one-handed? I'm kind of remembering this is connected to that somehow.
Don't make up excuses for that, Mary Jo. This is a mistake.
I'm just, this is in the back of my mind why they're.
Oh,
why
the other phone
this.
You don't use one-handed.
Or it'll let you reach something that you couldn't remember. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Or am I just making this up? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't recall a reason. For this, I just knew that it would be this layout, and I disagree with it, whatever the reason. I think the consistency is not. I think for a lot of people who are Lumia fans or longtime Lumia users, the ability to have a camera button again is like really nice, because that's been missing on most of the devices they've released over the past year. So I don't get
and we're pretty
guys.
Sure they're going to be called 950 and 950 XL Talkman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the recent news, right? The
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Should
and
I?
There's a picture of Munchkin underneath, right?
Munchkin? Who's Munchkin?
Is that that dock thing?
Yeah, this is Microsoft's Continuum dock. Yep. Right, so this will enable their phones, or any Windows phone, I would imagine, that supports this or has the right chipset to work as a PC. And so on the back of this DisplayPort, there's HDMI, there's three USBs.
That's
cool.
And then
cool. There's another micro USB. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you connect it to a normal monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, this is one of the
only for the City Man, not for the Talk Man.
It's only for one of them.
I think so, yeah. We're still working with pre-release info. Yeah. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, this won't be available on all devices immediately. They do have ideas about bringing continuum down to lower end phones, and we'll see how that goes over time. But yeah, I think right away it's just going to be one of the two.
Plus, we saw that new Acer phone today. It has continuum capabilities too, right?
Yep. Yep.
So it won't just be Lumias, but this is one of those things when Nadella was talking about, we need to differentiate and be in the market in places and ways that other phone makers are not. They talk about continuum as one of those things. So yeah, it's going to be a big push for them.
I'm sorry.
I think look good.
Yeah.
I think these phones look good. I think I would call them premium phones, not top of the line flagship phones. And this is not like some people have been asking about Surface phones. Neither of these are Surface phones. These are Lumia phones.
Right. Should a Surface phone happen, that's still next year at the earliest.
Right.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, I had an email this week for someone who wanted me to come on an investor radio show to talk about the imminent Surface phone. I'm like, nope, it's not imminent, and we don't even know if it exists.
Yeah.
So
that's rumored to be Atom based.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a Type C connector? Do we know for Lumia 950?
These are in the
kind of with that. Maybe that's why it's only available on the City Man or whatever is Talk Man. Maybe that's why, because it's that special. It kind of looks like a C, doesn't it? Am I wrong?
I'm not. You know, let me see if I can find the picture I have of this thing.
There were specs on. I think Windows Central had.
It's not
specs
clear from the picture.
All right.
The connector, I mean. But is it USB-C or is it...
I bet you it's C because... Well, I'm just thinking... Because that way you can get all that stuff out of that and it could be a PC. And I bet you that...
You're talking like this company makes sense. I don't know that...
Well, I'm looking at the original spec leak from Windows Central on TalkMan and CityMan. Both said they had USB Type-C.
They did. Okay. Then I'm not going to...
Both. Okay. Yep.
If that's
I don't know
the
if
case.
They've changed that since then or not.
All right. Well, whatever connector that is, that Munchkin dock has two of those ports. There's one on the back and there's one on the front. Right. And actually, that would kind of make sense because if you look at that picture again, the photo, the cable has the same end on either side. It's very rare to see micro USB on both ends of the same cable.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Cool. Yep. Very exciting. And do you have a time frame for that, sucker?
For which one?
Any of them. I like the continuum.
Holiday season.
This holiday season.
Yeah.
We think they'll be announced in October. I bet they won't go on sale till later.
Yeah, November. Yeah.
I mean, for one thing, they need Windows 10 Mobile, which has not RTM'd yet. I mean, Microsoft could put the operating system on those before it RTMs and then just update it when you get the phone. But we don't know.
This really looks like Type-C to me. I'm almost certain that's Type-C.
Yeah, no. Now that you say that, I'm starting to come around. I think you might be.
That makes more sense. I mean, well, it could be USB to go.
Well, it could be, but
That's very unusual to see the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
This looks like, I mean, I have quite a few Type-C cables now, and this looks like a Type-C to me, which would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. It would also explain why it's City Man only. Although it could be a processor thing or whatever, right?
Right.
CityMan's the phablet's the bigger one of the two.
Yeah.
All right. Fun.
I don't know.
You act like I'm a no. it's afternoon. You can now tell me about the new Moto 360 watch, right?
Yes.
Just ordered one of those.
Yes, I can.
It's pretty.
It is pretty.
Pretty.
And it's actually, round.
People were embargoed, I guess, on this, but their reviews are actually coming out now. So obviously, people
those
got access to them.
Bastards!
I hate it when they do that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? I'm sorry.
What do you got? What do you got? Anything to tell?
All right, so
anything to tell Papa Leo?
Yeah, I can tell you about it. So obviously second gen watch from them. I guess let's see if I can find my notes here. There are going to be different models of it this time. They're going after women as well as yes. You know, fitness type people.
They have. They also have a 46 millimeter, a giant one.
Yeah. So there's two. There's two sizes.
42 is what's considered manly to begin with. Yep. So I don't know.
Needless to say, I went with the 46.
Yeah.
So know, did I, 'cause super, we're men. Super manly.
We're manly men. We're men who like men.
No, yeah. So 2K sizes. You know, they have a nice trigger mechanism for getting the strap off, and you can mix and match. You can get third-party nice. Straps and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of different straps.
Lots of – the customization on these things is insane. You can customize the color and materials of, you know, the front part of it, the body of the watch, the sides, obviously the straps, different, you know, and all the bands and all that kind of stuff. Latest version of Android Wear, lots of stuff going on there. They have their own kind of live dial thing where you can have a watch face with three kind of circular like complications where apps can kind of peek through. So there are obvious things like weather, calories, steps, you know, battery, another clock, you know, like you would see on a traditional watch. Integration with a lot of car stuff. So you can use this to like Ford is using this. You can start your car with this. You can lock and unlock the doors with it. You can, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Like see the energy efficiency of a new Ford car.
So there's a sport model.
Yep. That one's coming a little later, though.
It has GPS built in, which is really nice.
Yeah, right.
It competes with the high-end running watches.
Yep.
Oops.
Yeah, and it has a wick, the kind of silicon band that it comes with actually wicks away sweat.
Yeah.
That's water-resistant, you know. And the prices are pretty good. So $300 to $420, depending on the model.
Having trouble getting to that page. I did just
yeah
order.
I think this is a tough time.
Well,
to
they're
be buying
busy. They're kind of, you know, busy right now.
They're a little kind of something's busy. Happening. It's
I decided to go with silver chamfer, silver buttons and silver band. Yep. and there you go. Well. $400.
Yep.
So
I think these look nice. I gotta say, I'm not
looks like a watch, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I like regular watches. So to me, it's like, yeah.
I almost pulled a trigger on the previous gen, and they had a crazy sale about a month ago.
Right.
But then I realized the reason they're having a crazy sale is because they're coming out with a new version. Right. So
yeah,
I waited to see what that looked like.
All right.
I went with all black.
Did you?
The dark.
Yeah, you can get, that's the, you can get, and then there's different, yeah, there's textures and stuff. I think they're really, the Moto maker is, as you said, I think is a very smart move on their part.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed this isn't, you know how big of a deal this was for the PC industry. Dell did this, I don't know, first, but, you know, certainly best. Apple, of course, came on board at some point, and they've been doing it ever since. I mean, to me, it's such an obvious, an excellent thing to do. And I just love the way they handle it. I just think personalizing stuff like this, especially really personal devices, phones and watches, is such a big deal. I mean, I really think this should be successful.
And when do they ship?
End of the month.
End of September, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. They've got micro knurling or no
knurling. What did you see for a date on the Moto X, by the way? Was it like September 17th 15th. Or 19th or something? 15th. Okay. And then as September 29th, I think, for the watch. Yeah.
And then the black, silver, or gold.
All black, baby.
You went all black, huh? Black band. Yep. Actually, that's pretty attractive.
That's what my regular watch is. All black. It's good.
Or do you want it, or did you get it knurled?
No, I didn't go
no
metal.
No knurling. You just went all...
No knurling. No, all smooth.
All smooth.
Smooth as a baby's butt, Leo.
And you went black leather, not the...
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the one.
Or you could have opulence.
Yep.
And get gold all the way.
Yep. I just like how you can really mix and match.
Isn't that great?
On this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they also have the smallest bezel, I guess, on any watch. And so they had a comparison of all the smartwatches, and there's a kind of a ratio of screen to the size of the device, like the size of the face of it. And this thing is in a completely different category than every other smartwatch.
Still have the flat tire, which is interesting.
The flat tire. Where is that?
This is the bottom of the old 360s had the same.
Oh, problem, yeah.
Where the screen is connected or something. I've got used to it. Doesn't bother me, but some people it bothers.
Right.
Nice. There you go. And this is Lenovo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
they're in Chicago. Right. I really feel like they're kind of independent.
Yeah, just like ThinkPad is in North Carolina.
Right, right.
You know, they're still there, so it's their own thing.
Yeah. Let's see. Cortana can translate. I like this. Yeah,
I didn't have time to write this one up today. Did you? Do you know anything about this, Mary Jo?
So the basic deal.
Well, Bing has always had pretty good translation, but it was through the Bing app.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting so close to Babelfish here, right? Obviously, on the PC, this is kind of interesting. It's always language translation is always interesting in some ways, but the ability to be out in the world and speak to your phone and say, "How do you say 'where's the bathroom' in Spanish or something?" And instead of flipping out a book and or looking it up on the web and typing in the phrase, I mean, I just think that we're one step toward the thing they have in Skype, which is the auto translate on the fly. I mean, the ability to do that kind of thing out in the world, I think, is really cool. So we're getting there.
Right. I mean, you could pull up the Bing Translator app on your device, right? But this just takes away one of those steps. You can just say, hey, where's
Cortana,
the text?
How do you say?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. And they support quite a few languages, too, for the translation.
Yep.
Some very... not what we consider mainstream ones.
It's really interesting to
like
me.
Like French,
yeah.
So
I could have used
Urdu natural and languages. Estonian and interesting
Vietnamese
languages.
Was great. Yeah. I could have used that on my trip.
Wouldn't that be handy? Yeah. Google Translator's done this, real-time translation. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yep, it's good.
And Bing has had this for a while.
Does anyone know this? Someone did this. There was a camera-based translation thing where you could hold a camera up at a sign in the real world and it would translate it on the screen.
Yeah, that's still in Google Google Maps.
And that's a Google thing. Okay.
Google Translate, Translate now, it's not available on Windows phones. I'm sorry. Has three buttons. You can write, you can take a picture, or you can speak. And it doesn't matter. Same app, doesn't matter. You choose how you want to input. And if you use speak, you can actually go like back and forth without pressing any buttons. We tried this on iOS today. Tony Wang, who's a longtime editor here, speaks Chinese. And so he said it was quite accurate. It was usably accurate.
Right, right.
So tourist Chinese anyway. Yeah, pretty impressive. The Babelfish is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unlocked Surface 3G, 4G, LTE. What is that?
So, this is the third time this one's come up, but I want to say back in June or July, Microsoft announced that the Surface 3 in 4G LTE format would be coming to the United States, and that AT&T would be the first carrier to have it here, but that they would also be selling unlocked versions. And then they had to quickly correct that story because, in fact, the unlocked version wasn't coming until late August. And then, of course, late August came and went, and they had to correct that because actually now it's coming in late September. So that's when it's coming until they change it again.
Just the unlocked one, right?
Yeah. So you can get it from AT&T now. It's coming to other carriers later at some unknown time.
T-Mobile. And then the mystery carrier is Verizon in this.
I wouldn't expect much from Verizon going forward.
Well, you know what? They originally announced they were also going to offer the Surface
I know that. With
LTE. And then nothing.
Right.
In fact, I asked Microsoft this week for an update, and they said, we have no additional details to share regarding Verizon.
Yeah.
So anything could happen. I don't mean to dump on Verizon per se, but I do know, speaking to people at Microsoft, that they're on the outs with Verizon and that their new strategy with mobile going forward is to work with the carriers. They actually work with them, and Verizon is not one of those carriers, and I fully expect them to be dumped from anything Microsoft going forward. So
I'm worried about this, being a Verizon customer.
You should be, Mary Jo. You should
be.
Stop. Don't say what you're going to say. Hold on. This is what will save it for you. Do not say the A word. What will save it for you is universal radios in unlocked phones that Microsoft will sell directly.
Is that AM and FM?
No. I mean antennas, you know, like...
But can they can you use those with Verizon because of CSM, GSM?
Now you can because everybody's gone LTE. So the good news as a Verizon customer is that CDMA thing,
yeah,
it doesn't matter anymore.
It's going away.
Good. Yeah. Yay. That's good.
That's why it has a SIM slot.
That's going to make a big difference. I mean, it's one of the nicest things about being on AT&T or T-Mobile that you can use any world phone, you know, international unlock phones work great.
By the way, the Microsoft Translator app does the live picture translate as well.
It does. I thought I'd seen that from
Google.
Microsoft.
Google bought WordLens, which was the original app to do that. Microsoft obviously said, we can do that. The weird thing, I don't know about the Microsoft one, the weird thing on the Google one is it preserves the look of the sign, the font, everything.
Yeah.
You're looking at a sign in Spanish, and then you're looking at it on the screen, and it's...
And that's augmented reality, arguably.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a cool feature.
Imagine the HoloLens, you know, if they ever get it so you can walk around and you can walk around in life and be in, you know, you go somewhere where it's a Cyrillic alphabet or or ideograms. You're in Tokyo. You can't make head or, you know, in Spain you can kind of figure out what's going on. At least it's, you can read it in Kaye. Okay, I'm starting to get that. But in Tokyo, you can't. But imagine if you had glasses that translated that.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah, that would change everything.
Travel's getting too easy, frankly.
Right.
It used to be travel was broadening. Now it's just going abroad.
Wow. I have wasted my life.
Now it's just a long ride and somewhere else.
Now it's just sitting on a cramped airline seat next to somebody.
That's exactly right.
Smells a little funny.
It's
and
a bus
to
ride to somewhere else. It's a ticket to Indiana.
My tour of Starbucks of the world.
Yeah. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Everywhere. Everywhere you go, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Sad.
Sad. Xbox One Elite. If you and I aren't elite, what are we, Paul? Is this the... wait a minute. Now, the Elite originally was the controller, but now this is a whole thing, right?
Yeah, so there's an Elite controller. Remember, $150.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw that thing in July and played around with it. It's actually kind of awesome.
I want it because you can
unplug it's not $150 awesome, but it's $100 awesome. I mean, I wish it was a little less expensive, but it is really nice. And now there's an Elite bundle. So obviously you get the controller, you get a full terabyte of storage versus 512 or whatever. It's a hybrid drive, meaning there's some SSD backup to the main hard drive, just for caching and speed. And is there anything else? I think that might be it. I think that's the deal. There's no Kinect.
It doesn't include Kinect. That's weird.
No Kinect, yeah.
Why the hell?
Because that's $100 extra right there. You know, and remember, this controller is $150. So when you add the extra storage plus the controller, it's you're basically getting the hard drive for free. So if you wanted this controller and don't have an Xbox One, I mean, this is the thing to get. It's a good deal on that note. But a lot of people are looking forward to what, you know, different people call like an Xbox One Mini or Micro or whatever, which is an optical discless version of the Xbox One, right? Which in a slimmer package, one you could actually bring around to people's houses and do LAN parties with. Because I can tell you the one thing I'm never going to do is throw this thing in a bag and carry it anywhere. I mean, it's delicate and big and, you know, it's just not travel friendly. But I think it was Phil Spencer.
Denied it, Xbox.
Yeah, they said it's not happening. Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not ever happening. I mean, obviously,
no, that's true.
They're gonna
just not this.
Yeah,
year.
They're gonna go. Yeah. They'll go with cheaper components, smaller components. You know, whatever. There'll be a smaller Xbox One someday. I don't need the drive. I would if given the choice, would get an Xbox One without a drive. Mm-hmm. The optical drive, you know, but not.
Yeah.
Not now.
Nope. And you could buy a Kinect. I mean, it's not like.
You could buy a Kinect. Actually, what I'd like to see is the optical discless drive version come with
a Kinect.
The audio part of Kinect in the front of it, so you could still do what will then be Hey Cortana. Mm-hmm. Someday. Mm-hmm. We can dream.
What's weird to me is everybody else.
So you can see anything.
Yeah,
Mary Jo, you stole my beer
pick. You know what's weird?
You
know what's weird to me? No, what's weird to me is that everybody else is putting voice. You know, the rumor is the new Apple TV will have voice. Fire TV, which outsells the Apple TV, has voice.
Has voice, yeah.
The Shield has voice, the Android TV.
I think the Google Play Nexus that nobody owns, also has.
So,
but these things all require you to hit a button on a remote and use it like a microphone.
Right.
Right. I think the way that Microsoft does it on Xbox One is really cool. And the way that Hey Cortana works on PCs and phones, if you enable it, is really cool because it's natural. You just talk.
I'm just saying, if they're pushing the home media center portion of this to have parity with everybody else's home media center,
you know. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news.
I'm sorry.
The words media and center used together in a sandwich in a sentence are no longer okay.
Oh, well. Mary Jo, if you will indulge us for a moment longer.
Yes, I will on Xbox.
I've been looking at this Games with Gold this month.
Oh, shoot. Speaking of which, I need to order these.
What is this game is what I'm asking. What is it called?
Which one?
Dear
God?
Yeah, Dear God.
That's brand new. As of the day I wrote this, it wasn't even available yet.
Are you a god that is a deer?
No, you're a pixelated deer. So it's some kind of, I've never played it.
It's like 8-bit. It looks like Minecraft. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's supposed to. It's like a 3D, 8-bit looking thing. It is it's like a roller reversal game.
You're the deer being hunted?
You're the deer hunting hunters.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Do I get a gun?
It's an ecological game.
What, do I have to use my hooves?
You have antlers. You have defenses. Deers are, they're very violent creatures, Leo.
Seems a rather lopsided battle.
Right.
Guys, this is why I'm not a gamer. Just saying.
This is why? Because of Dear God?
Dear hooves.
And you're a vegetarian. So I think you'd want to play Dear God.
Right.
As long as the deer wins. Right?
You know what? It's only $15. I'm buying it. I'll give you a report.
No, it's free. You can get it for free.
Oh, it was $15.
That's the point. It's free now.
It's worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
And then there are other weird games on here. I feel like the gold stuff... The free gold stuff is
actually, at least two of these.
Crisis 3 is great.
Yeah, classic shooters like Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, third person shooter. By the way, normally costs $30. You know,
I got too much though. I bought Gears of War because of you.
Oh, by the way,
yeah.
This podcast. So I went away over the weekend, so I didn't finish the game yet. The Gears of War for Xbox One is the version from the PC, so it has that extra mission in the middle where you fight that Godzilla Brumac thing. And this podcast has literally interrupted my killing of the Brumac, which is that awesome, looks like Godzilla thing with a rider on it and rockets on his arms. So as soon as we're done here, that's what I'm going
to
do.
The Brumac.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Chatroom explained, Dear God, how it works.
Okay.
You go out and you stand in the middle of the road and hope the hunter hits you with his car and damages it.
Then you just kind of barrel roll at the last second and see if he can hit a tree trying to swerve.
Yeah.
A game of chicken with a car. It doesn't usually work out well for the deer or actually for the car.
That's why it's a tough game.
Yep. Yeah, so it's like a Psygnosis game from the 1980s.
Yeah, remember them?
There's no help or starting over there. You just, you die and then you go back to the beginning.
Right back to the beginning.
Yep.
All right. I'm sorry, Mary Jo. We're done.
Okay. I'm good.
We've satisfied our male gaming urge.
Have we? And now my software picks will be 5 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, before you do that, though, let's pick a book. What do you say? It's time for audible.com. I love my Audible books. I listen to them all the time. And, now that I have the Amazon Echo, I have two. I like the Echo so much, mostly for this, that I have one in the bedroom and now one in the kitchen. I'm thinking of getting another one.
I am freaked out by how much people like this thing.
For the one thing, I mean,
I don't have one.
You can say, for instance, you could say Echo, listen to Twit. You have to say Twit Live, not Twit Live.
Nice.
You could say Twit Live, but she'll say Twit Live. Listen to Twit Live on TuneIn, and it'll be playing us the stream. Like that.
What does it play out of, though?
The Echo Tube has a fairly good mono speaker in there.
It does.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. It's good enough for spoken word. It sounds great. Podcasts sound great. And it's microphones. They're Ray microphones, so they go through the whole room. So you can be across the room and just say, hey, Echo, read me my book. This is my favorite command. Read me my book. And then it knows what the last audio audible book you listened to is, and it starts playing it.
Yep.
It's awesome!
That's interesting. I'm not sure if it's $180 interesting, but it is interesting.
Yeah. Well, the first one I got was $100, so I figure I'm ahead of the game.
$100 I'd probably just do.
Yeah, it's worth $100. I don't know why they went up to $180, which is crazy. So Audible is the world's greatest audio bookstore. Paul and I are kind of fanatical about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Audible.com is the place to go. Look at this. Romance novels with bite. The Immortal After Dark series.
Oh, jeez.
Dubliners? That would be nice. But that's a great book.
The Dubliners, well.
Yeah. So they get a little bit of everything. I don't know about this. I love the Millennium Trilogy, The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo, etc.
I want to read this.
So the cool thing about this, by the way, if you haven't read the original three Millennium series, you get them right now on Audible for free. Mm-hmm. Get the first one for free at Audible. Let me get the audible.com/windows. So what we're going to do is we're going to set you up with a gold account and give you your first book free. Paul and I, you know, we're so fanatical, and that's why I like having the Echo, because I just listen all the time now. It's great because I have so many books in my library. And do you fall behind, Paul? I'm falling behind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because what happens is, for example, before I went to France, I bought this 28-hour Mountain Man compendium thing.
Right.
And I'm on the third of the three stories, but it's taken a while to get through that.
This is my list here. You know, I listen to the Great Courses, so I'm listening to a Great Course on the Middle Ages, three-part course. Love it. Because we were in Germany, and I wanted I hadn't read any Patterson, and I think we're going to get to interview James Patterson. So mm-hmm. I'm reading
Great
Along Came a
Start.
Spider, the first of the series.
The early ones are the best.
Alex
Those,
Cross.
They really are good. I don't know.
I'm
about
enjoying it, and it's well written. Well read. There's a new Chinese sci-fi author that people are raving about. Shixin Lu, the Three Body Problem. They've got it on Audible. The first two of the trilogy. I'm sure they're recording the third right now. Supposedly, really like the new guy. Of course, Neal Stephenson, 70s. You see, I'm so far behind.
Right.
So I'm just finishing Season of the Witch, which is a wonderful story of history of modern San Francisco. What do you?
Not the terrible third Halloween movie.
No. No. What are you listening to?
So two things. Well, first of all, I'm still listening to that Mountain Man compendium, which is I really think is fantastic. It is post-apocalyptic zombie stuff, whatever, but well written and well read. In France, driving around, my wife and I were listening to My Life in France, the Julia Child, Alex.
Yeah, see, I like doing that as you're going around. I love that.
Yeah, because we'd been to Rouen, and a lot of the early stuff is they get off the boat and they go to Rouen, and she has her first French food experience, which is so excellent.
Oh, that was so amazing.
Yeah. It's important that she doesn't read the audiobook. but the other one, this one's kind of interesting. No, I mean, I love Julia Child, but, you know, enough, right? But I don't know how I found this exactly, but you may recall that Amazon has this subscription service where you can get Kindle books, like up to 10 of them a month or 10 total for this subscription, right?
Right.
And I try to justify me paying for this. I try to go in and, you know, read as many of these books as possible. And I don't actually remember how I came across this author, but there's a guy. This program, by the way, is called Kindle Unlimited. There's a British author called Mark Edwards, and he writes. Actually, they're kind of like James Patterson style in their pacing, and they're shorter. You know, they're shorter books, 300 pages or less, or whatever. And they're all about like some person or people being put into some kind of a danger, and it's a mystery about what's really going on, and it's never actually supernatural or never actually like what it seems like it might be.
Oh, it's like Scooby-Doo.
Okay. The Magpies is one of the five books I've gotten by this author. I've actually read all of the other ones on Kindle. This one I just discovered is available. For some reason, when you get it with Kindle Unlimited, they give it to you on Audible as well. And it's actually the first one that he wrote, and it's the most popular. And I have not read it yet. I just started at the beginning of it. But now that I see it's on Audible, I'm actually going to do it that way. And that's actually kind of a cool little cross service, kind of a neat thing. So the person who reads this is British, which may or may not be.
The atoms and particles shed by their bodies day after day. These things would merge to create an atmosphere that was not solely of Jamie or Kirsty.
Oh, see, I like his voice.
Yeah, I do too, but I could see some people. Yeah.
That's what I say. You go to audible.com, you can actually listen to a preview of every book.
Yeah.
So you kind of know what the read. The reader's a big part of this because, you know, if you don't like the voice, it's going to annoy you. But I'll tell you what, I love so many of these readers. In fact, what people are doing now is they're finding a reader they like, and then they're getting all the books from that reader, which instead, not the writer, the reader.
Oh, by the way, that's how I found Mountain Man. So Mountain Man is read by R.C. Bray, who, of course, did The Martian.
Right.
And if you want to get a feel for this kind of zombie apocalypse thing, there is a free Audible book, a short story by this author read by R.C. Bray called The Hospital, which is – it's only an hour and 37 minutes. It's excellent. And it will give you a feel for the series.
He's so good. Let me play a little R.C. Bray from
Gus stood by a row of freezers full of a sludge of melted ice cream, water, and rotting containers.
Yeah, see, he's always going to be Mark Whatley to me.
I know.
Sounds like Mark Whatley's reading it.
Yep. No, actually, so that's funny because as the characters kind of solve problems and stuff, you think, like, this is just like the guy
it's
in The Martian.
Anyway, oh, how fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it's we could go on and on, and obviously we already have, but Audible, we love it. Yeah, and you will too. Audible.com/windows. 180,000 titles now. All kinds of literature, fiction, nonfiction, the great courses, which I love, language courses. Jeff Jarvis is doing the Pimsleur series from Audible, learning Spanish. It's just, it's something everybody should just have. Audible.com/windows. Sign up today. Your first book is free. All right, let's start with you, Mr. Paul Thurrott, your back of the book, tip of the week.
Been talking like straight for 45 minutes. Sorry, Mary Jo. actually, that's not a tip. I have just software picks. So the first one is Duolingo. I recommended this app back in, I don't know, March-ish when it was on Windows Phone. It is now available as a universal app on Windows 10.
Oh,
so you can get it on Windows 10 for PCs,
great.
Windows 10 for mobile. It is literally the Windows Phone app just ported over straight. And I've been using this since last September to learn Spanish. And it's fantastic.
Highly. And it's free.
Absolutely free. And always free. There's no moment where you have to start paying for anything or pay to get something. There's no paying.
It's awesome.
It's free. Yep. The other thing that happened, the other software pick, actually, I guess technically there were two here, is Amazon Video has been around for a long time. On Fire devices, which are Amazon devices, the phone and the tablets, you could download movies and TV shows for offline viewing. And they just added this capability to Android and iOS, which is awesome. Not Windows, obviously, but if you have an Android device or an iOS device and you have this service, you should at least look at it. You get it for free as part of your Prime subscription if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, which gives you all kinds of other stuff on Amazon too. Including 2-day shipping on most items for free and so forth. I played around with this today. It's funny, you know, some stuff isn't available for offline viewing for, you know, maybe licensing reasons, but a lot of it is. And, you know, again, it's just another option. I think if anyone's watching, you know, Netflix or HBO Go or whatever, like this is just one of the kind of possibilities you could have ready to roll. And now you can, you know, depending on the devices you use, if you're going on a flight or whatever, you could download a movie or TV show and watch it on the go. And I don't know what the limit is, but I downloaded six, I guess they were all movies. I was expecting it to kind of crap out after two or five or whatever, but I did six, and so I don't know what the stop is, but that's pretty impressive. And then late breaking, I didn't write about this, but Hulu finally has offered a commercial-free offering, right? So Hulu, I don't know if this, is there a free version of Hulu? I think there must be. But even Hulu Plus,
yes.
Maybe not, right?
There's free.
Even Hulu.
And then there's the $8 Hulu Plus, which has ads, and now
which
there's
has
this
ads,
new
which
version.
Has always been crazy to me.
Yeah.
So this thing is what $11.99, I think, and now it's actually ad free. Now, there's also a caveat as with everything in life. Not all of their content is licensed for free subscription viewing without commercials. So, sadly, some stuff will still come with commercials. I assume is how it works. But I have stayed away from Hulu because of the commercial thing. You know, if I wanted to watch commercials, I would DVR stuff. But I think this will make it more appealing to some people. Obviously, what you want to do is look at Hulu, see what the stuff is that's maybe unique or only available on that service. and then you know go from there and determine if you want to pay for it.
All right. And
a lot of stuff, not necessarily for Windows in there, but
doesn't matter.
Well, no, that's not true. A lot
picks
of it is.
Picks are picks.
Two out of three are for Windows.
It was a pick.
It wasn't. It wasn't a pick.
I was scratching my nose. Okay, it was a scratch, not a pick. Mary Jo Foley, your enterprise pick, and I'm pretty sure it's a pick of the week.
It is. My pick of the week is has to do with portals. Actually, right now, if you're an IT pro, you have both Intune and Office 365, you have to manage the license assignments and subscriptions in two different portals. Two portals is too many. So Microsoft is trying to merge the Office 365 portal and the Intune and Enterprise Mobility Suite portal. This is going to happen by the end of September, so that if you're somebody who has subscriptions and licenses in both of those things, you'll have now you'll be able to just go into the Office 365 portal and manage both. It doesn't mean that Intune's becoming part of Office 365. It just means Microsoft's consolidating the management of the licenses for those things into the Office 365 portal. So when I tweeted about this today and everybody's like, yes, whoa, fantastic. Just because it's so much easier, you only have to go to one place to do your license management instead of having to go to two. So that's coming very soon, end of this month.
One portal to rule them all.
One portal.
And patches.
No patches.
No patches?
No. This is the code name pick.
Oh. What is the code name pick?
The code name pick. Patches, yeah, sorry if you're seeing a bunch of things. Oh, no. I just have the wrong link.
You have the wrong link. Me, that's
not
why.
You. I will go fix that.
I clicked the link and I read the title and I thought, well, I don't know what this has to do with anything, but I'm going to say the words out loud because that's how I am.
I have had nothing but
you tell a radio guy. Just keep reading, Leo. It's,
that's right. No dead air.
You'll be fine.
Makes no sense. I don't care.
One today. I have just like entered so many links and had to go back.
No, I clicked the link and I should have.
No, foolishly you clicked the link.
You foolishly clicked the link that was in the notes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's talk Project Sonar.
Project Sonar. So this sounds really cool when you hear what this is. It's malware detonation as a service. That sounds cool, right? That you're going to have a detonation chamber for malware.
Will there be deer hooves?
There will be no deer gods. Oh, well. It will just be detonation. Oh.
That would be a fun game, actually.
this thing, Microsoft's not helping with what this is. Somebody tipped me to the fact that if you go in the Microsoft jobs site, there are a couple of jobs for this thing called Sonar. Microsoft already uses this technology inside of Windows to get rid of malware through the IE zero-day sandbox technology that they have. They also are already using it with Exchange Online as well. So what I think is going to happen is Microsoft's going to take this technology that they've been using internally to get rid of malware and isolate malware and somehow bring this out for customers to use in their own data centers. The way the job posts are written, it's not entirely clear if Microsoft will just say, here, customers, you can take this detonation as a service thing on Azure and use it yourselves. Or if Microsoft will be the one detonating the malware and then giving users the option to look at reports and do analysis on what happened. So right now we don't know the details. We don't know when. We don't know how or how much. But this Project Sonar thing is something that they're staffing up. They have a small dedicated team. They're building this out and somehow seem intent on getting this technology in the hands of customers.
It should be
pretty interesting.
That sounds good to me.
It does, right? Yeah.
I'll take it. Speaking of which, I'm going across the street to get your beer pick of the week. This looks good. Have you had this?
This is one Mary Jo and I are completely copacetic on this one.
Oh, yes. Nice.
So the beer pick is from Lagunitas, right next door to Twit.
Our local brewery.
It is. And they make a barley wine called Gnarly Wine. And the 2015 version is out now. If you've ever had a barley wine, it's Paul called it the port of beers. That's pretty much what it is. carbs.
It's also 20 proof, 21
yeah.
proof.
20 yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's yeah. you can feel the sugar as you drink it. It's...
You can. It's very caramely and sugary, and it's something to have as a dessert. It's 10.5%, this particular
Is that sweet?
Very sweet.
Yep.
But it's really good.
You can almost
good.
Feel like, the graininess of the sugar in the liquid. Like it's...
Huh.
You can't.
So what is a barley wine? What does that mean?
Remember, we looked this up one time because my favorite beer is the barley wine from the local place. And I've never seen anyone else do barley wine as good as they do until I had this.
Yeah. And actually, you really like this too, Paul, huh?
Yeah, he loved it.
This is one of the best beers I've ever had.
I bet you it's across the street at the Petaluma Market. I'm running across after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another way of talking about it is a strong English ale. That's the definition, technical definition of what a barley wine is. But usually it's just a very high alcohol beer. One of the highest of all percentage-wise alcohol. But it's really good. If you're in the mood for something very sweet, dessert-like, it's not something you just drink... willy-nilly.
No.
But it's good.
Don't expect to drink a couple of bottles of this and then go anywhere.
There's 300 calories a bottle, so if you do, it's lunch.
It's more likely a late-night snack, and then we'll see you on Tuesday.
I think I want to get some.
you should try it.
Flavors evolve as hop bitterness yields to crazy caramel and rich toffee flavors, a 99 at ratebeer.com.
Yeah, no, the score's out of control. It's the Tesla of beers, Leo.
It's 103 on the 100-point scale.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really nice. So, Paul got to try some yesterday, and I get a little bit, too. It was nice.
If it's still there next week, I'll have it again next week. Actually...
Oh, yeah. It might be at Rattle next week if they still have it.
All right. If you come to Rattle and Hum...
Maybe you'll get some.
Wednesday, the 9th of September, 2015... 3 to 5 p.m. If they've got old gnarly wine, it's on me. Anything from Petaluma at Rattle and Hum, I will buy.
Man. Careful. Careful.
I know.
How much could it cost?
Yikes.
I don't
know. What's $7 times 1,000?
First round's on me. I didn't ask Lisa about this, but the first round's on me. I think there are limit. I think there are also issues about us buying alcohol.
Right.
But
yes.
I think I'm not saying it's going to be a formal thing, but come up to me, say the secret word, gnarly wine.
Yikes.
And I will buy you one if they have it. You better tell them.
Yeah, they had it this week.
They usually have something from Lagunitas on because they get a lot of their beer, which is great.
I love that. We are so lucky. I mean, this now. By the way, they've opened a Lagunitas in Chicago, so
yeah.
We saw Lagunitas in Ireland.
What?
Oh, really? Wow,
It's pretty amazing. It was really a small craft.
I mean, that's Sam Adams status, you know, like
it is now.
They're around, you know,
But I know the guys. We've been there many a time. It's a great place.
Sure.
That's great. I love it. It's kind of like Twit, where who would have thought this little town of Petaluma. The best Windows podcast in the whole wide world would originate.
Yeah, I thought that the Harvest Festival was always going to be the biggest deal there, but apparently...
It's the Butter and Eggs Day Parade.
Right.
We love butter and eggs. All right, Mr. Thurrott, Ms. Foley, thank you so much. Mary Jane Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her home on the internet, the ZDNet blog, where she plies her trade.
Did you just say Mary Jane Foley?
Joe. Mary Jo. Did I say Jane? I thought I said Joe.
It took a second for it to kind of register.
As
in the
long
back
as you don't say All About Android, like has been said in the past.
I said that you're the host of All About Android?
No, you never did.
Oh.
You won't say who.
I was going to get a stroke.
You did not.
Paul Thurrott. He is at Thurrott.com. Can't get that wrong.
Paul Jane Thurrott.
Paul Jane Thurrott.
Jane Thurrott.
And to both of them do Windows Weekly. Now, next week, as I mentioned, 11 a.m. Pacific Tuesday,
right.
September 8th. We're going to do it a little early. Thank you for being flexible on that so that we can cover the Apple announcement the next day.
New York on Wednesday?
Flying Wednesday, red eye.
Okay.
I'm going to try that new JetBlue thing, the mint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mints. That's going to be sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
It's lie flat cross country is kind of dopey because it's only a 5-hour flight. Yeah. All you're going to do is fall asleep and they go, what? Yeah, now you want to get me up? Oh.
Sure. But I do that at home. I mean, it's still better than sitting up and watching a movie bleary-eyed.
For 5 hours, yeah. Middle of the night. Yeah, we're doing a red eye.
I want to hear about that. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, mint. It's not that expensive. I mean, it's not as
expensive. It's only New York, San Francisco, and L.A. right now, but it's coming to Boston, yeah. So I haven't been able to do it yet.
Yeah. I'll let you. I will give you a mint update.
Yeah, I'm a frequent flyer on JetBlue.
JetBlue, yeah. Boston was there, one of their first big cities. So make sure you know, if you download, if you're already a subscriber, you'll get it. It won't make any difference. You might even get it a day early. But for the rest of you, if you'd like to watch live, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. And then Wednesday, where if you tune in at this time, you'll be watching a lot of Apple stuff, because, of course, that's the new Apple announcement. And if you're trying to get the Apple taste out of your mouth, come have some gnarly wine with us. Rattle and Hum, New York, New York, 3
wait,
to 5
wait, wait. You
p.m.
know, maybe, Mary Jo, there's some Apple beer we could get for Leo.
No! Oh!
They often have an apple cider on, too.
Oh, I do. You know what? I drink ciders all the time because I'm not a big drinker, to be honest. I'm kind of a lightweight. One of these gnarly wines, and I'm going to be going, I love you guys. You're really beautiful. Exactly.
That's what happens. That's when you start buying rounds right there.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get it gets a few of those up front.
So I usually have a cider. I love cider. I love French style cider from Bretagne.
Well,
that's my favorite. They have 40 choices, 40 tap beers, plus many, many bottles.
It is amazing.
I guess there's no way in one day I could earn a mug with my name on it.
The best part there, though, is like the wait staff are just the best. They're just the quintessential New Yorkers. They're not super interested in anything, actually. I mean,
what do you
so
want?
Excellent.
You want some beer or I have some beer? Get out of here.
No, they're just so abusive. If you're not ready, you got to know
here.
What you're doing.
What do you want? I'm waiting here.
It's just, no, they're really funny.
I get out. I can't. I don't have all day. What do you want?
I'm very, very curious to see this mix of crowd and those people.
I'm so excited because Rattle and Hum's been legendary on this show for years. I've never made it there. Yeah. I'm really excited about seeing you guys have come here many times, but to see you on your home turf, that's
I know. It's
fun.
So weird. This is like, well, certainly for Mary Jo, it's just her home away from home. But for me, it's like one of my little meccas, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait. And then Dick DiBartolo will be there as well. I will be there. Lisa Kensel will, or Lisa Laporte now.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, Leo.
I heard she married some doofus.
Yeah, she's off America, you know.
We'll all be there. I hope you will, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. 3 to 5 in the afternoon on the 9th. So in a way, you get two Windows Weeklies if you come visit us. Thank you, everybody. We do Windows Weekly normally Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Twit. We can always get it after the fact, twit.tv/WW, or subscribe. That way you'll get it every week. We also have those great apps our wonderful third-party developers have made for every platform, including the very nice Windows Phone app. Thank you, Dimitri Lee Allen. I haven't got the latest on the new one he's writing, the Universal one.
Right.
So I can't wait to hear about that. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time
on Windows Weekly.
Bye-bye.